Tate Vasudevaya Narayana. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 45. May Sri Prabhupada. Translation. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grahamedis, so-called grahasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The Krupanas, the fools who are just the opposite of Brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are Dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all the materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as Krupanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of a lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass, but as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Mam eva ye prapadyante, maya metam tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low grade happiness of sex life, Yamunacharya says in this connection, Yadavadhi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde, navanavarasa dhamni udyata rantum asit, tadavadhi bata nari sangame smaryamane, bhavati mukha vikara sushtu nishti vanamcha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing our new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with disdain. Yamunacharya had formerly been a great king who enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways, but since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. Hare Krishna. Here in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj, he is offering various prayers to Lord Narasingadev. And in the beginning, he glorified Lord Narasingadev, and in that way he tried to pacify Lord Narasingadev, because Lord had appeared in that wonderful form, and in that form he was very angry. he was angry at Hiranyakashipu, and he killed Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu represents the person who is very proud of his materialistic assets, material power, and he wanted to deny the authority of the Supreme Lord. And in fact, he was trying to almost reverse the laws of this material nature. And at that time, he was trying to convince Prahlad Maharaj, who was a great devotee of the Lord, that he should simply surrender to him. He should, instead of worshipping Lord Vishnu, he should start worshipping him. And that was a great problem, because Hiranyakashipu wanted to take the position of the Lord. It is said that there is no one equal to the Lord, or no one above the Lord, or samartha. And here Hiranyakashipu was challenging the authority of the Lord. And when he was seeing that Prahlad Maharaj is not surrendering to his will, although he was his son, and Prahlad Maharaj was like a child in front of Hiranyakashipu, 5 years child, and we do not expect a small child to speak eloquent philosophy or to give some instruction to a superior person, especially the father. Here we can see that Prahlad Maharaj had received instructions from the very beginning. When he was in the womb of his mother, that time only he had received instruction, and he had heard about the glories of the Supreme Lord, and he was thoroughly convinced that there is no happiness in this material world. And being a devotee of the Lord, he had great compassion. Compassion for the living entities, those who are suffering in this material world. And we can see in previous verses also, it may appear that how Prahlad Maharaj could be so harsh in telling the truth. But this act of offering prayers is another side of compassion, because he had Lord Narsingadev in front of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in front of him, and now he had this opportunity. If any ordinary person comes to a superior person, or he can give anything he wants, then he will ask for so many material benedictions. I want this, I want that. So many material agenda he has that he can get fulfilled. Because if he please a great person, they can do whatever you want. But here Prahlad Maharaj, although he was having Lord Narsingadev in front of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could have established that I am the greatest devotee of Lord Narasingadev, and to protect me, Lord Narasingadev has appeared, and in the future everyone should follow me. He could have established all these things. But being one of the Mahajanas, he had to establish, he had to set an example for all future devotees to come, that how to be a proper devotee. What should be the consciousness when we come in front of the Lord to offer prayers, or when we come in front of spiritual master, that time also how to offer prayers, and how to see that spiritual master is pleased or the Supreme Lord is pleased by our consciousness or our offering of prayers. And Prahlad Maharaj in this way is showing that he is a transparent vaya medium. He did not have any of his personal agenda to give. And he is offering these prayers out of great compassion. And he told Lord Narasingadev that you are the original spiritual master. You are the source of everyone. And what is the difficulty for you to help these living entities, those who are suffering in this material world? And out of your compassion, you incarnate in every yuga. It is not that you have just come to deliver me or to kill Hiranyakashipu. But in every yuga you come. And in previous verses also, Prahlad Maharaj is revealing that Lord comes as Channakalo, as hidden incarnation in Kali Yuga. And in every yuga he comes and he establishes the Yuga Dharma for that particular age. And later on, Prahlad Maharaj, in that way he pacified Lord Narasingadev very much. And then he is not concerned about his own welfare or liberation from this material world, but he is able to see the sufferings of other living entities also. Par dukkha dukhi. A Vaishnava is par dukkha dukhi. He becomes distressed to see the suffering of other living entities. And why someone is suffering in this material world? Because of ignorance. When someone is ignorant of his position in this material world, he suffers. Because if someone realizes that I am the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, I have an eternal connection with the Supreme Lord, and I am spirit soul, I am not this material body, I am eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss, then there is no question of suffering. But because one identifies himself with this material body, then all suffering comes. Because then one thinks that I am this material body and I have to take care of this material body, and then everything follows. Janasya moham aham mameti. That everything related to this body, then it starts, then I become the center. I or mine, whatever connected with mine, That is the center. And then, on that material platform, relativistic platform, one forgets his connection with the Supreme Lord. And therefore one suffers. Presently now, almost whole world is suffering with so much economic crisis. And they are thinking that they are lost in this material world. People are, some of them are committing suicide and becoming so much disturbed. But if we analyze the situation, then we will see that what they have lost. They might have lost some few thousands of or lakhs of or crores of rupees, which ultimately they may not be able to take with them after they leave this material world. Nobody can take anything from this material world. But the more one is attached, one suffers more when it is taken away. If someone is not attached, a poor person begging on the street, he is not disturbed by the economic crisis because his condition will remain the same. Whole people are suffering, isn't it? For a poor person, he will get his every amount, whatever he has to get, and he's happy enjoying that rotis or sabzi. People will give something to him. But those who are having too more, many attachments, for them it's a great crisis. Discussions are going on and news everywhere. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is concerned with such people that after getting human form of life, which is a very rare opportunity, durlabha manusham janma. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that this human form of life is so rare. After going through so many species of life, one gets this human form of life. And one should not waste that. And then, even after getting that human form of life, there are so many avenues, or so many distractions. If one is not given training from the childhood, or he doesn't come in contact with devotees, those who give them this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then they are lost. And then again the same thing, punarapi jananam punarapi maranam. Shankaracharya explains that again and again they take birth and die without perfecting their lives. So that is the greatest loss. That if someone doesn't take the opportunity in this life and perfect and go back home, back to Godhead, then that is the greatest loss. One should not waste his time in trying to find out some temporary happiness or temporary pleasures. Here Prahlad Maharaj is very, very in strong words he is speaking. He is speaking that what is this life? Grohamedi life. Those who do not have any spiritual knowledge, that is Grohamedi. Their whole center is how they can do service to their house, family members, and no knowledge of spiritual life. So what they are doing, they are simply busy trying to serve their own self or the extended sense gratification, their family members, relatives. And in that way they think that maybe they will become happy after some time in the future. But there is no happiness. Here Prabhupada also is saying that there is no happiness in that way. And this type of people are compared as Krupanas. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that Trupyanti Neha Krupana Bahudukha Bhaja. That they are considered to be Krupanas because according to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is said that those who do not utilize this human form of life and waste their life like cats and dogs, they take birth again and again, they are said to be Krupanas. And opposite to that is Brahmana. Brahmana is one who will utilize this human form of life and solve the problems of this life. Now, what are the problems of this life? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma, mrityu, chara, vyadhi, dukkha, doshanu, darshanu. These are the four problems of this life. And once you try to solve these problems, because if one doesn't solve, then again he has to come back in this material world. And here Prahlad Maharaj is saying that what is the happiness in this material world, the topmost happiness, so called happiness. He is saying that this happiness is like rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. And that cannot give one happiness. If there is itch, if someone starts rubbing, itching, that then it will increase, it is not going to reduce. And that may be the happiness in this material world. People may think that will give the ultimate solution, or that way they will be happy. But it is just temporary. Prabhupada also explains in Bhagavad Gita that happiness, yahi sansparsha ja bhoga dukha yona vyate adyanta vanta kaunte nateshu ramate buddha. That it is being in because of the contact of the senses. Sansparsha dukha yona vyate, and it is a source of great misery. Nateshu ramate adyanta vanta kaunte nateshu ramate buddha. It has beginning and it has an end. Nate shuramate buddha. That, and a wise, he does not indulge into that. He does not take pleasure into such happiness. So, therefore, it is important that we should know philosophically. Philosophically, we should know that it cannot give us happiness. It is temporary. And Prabhupada is saying that the body itself is temporary. Our material body itself is temporary. And therefore, the happiness derived from the senses is also temporary. There is no eternal happiness. The body itself is going to die. After a few years, it is going to get old, disease, and going to vanish. So at that time, there is a question of happiness. It's a temporary happiness. And that also is an illusion in one sense. One should not indulge into such activities because it is a source of distress. And Srila Prabhupada also in the purport is explaining that the whole world, in fact, in the Western countries and everywhere now, that they are thinking that this is the greatest happiness. This is so much propaganda going on. And innocent people are getting misled. They are thinking that this will give me happiness. But they are getting misled. And in fact, Kali Yuga is making progress. Because Kali Yuga has four places to reside. And one of that is illicit sex. Wherever such illicit activities are going on, there Kali Yuga is residing. And in that way, the Kali Yuga is progressing more and more rapidly everywhere. And there are people, those who are suffering from the various diseases those develop if someone indulge into such activities. So many diseases they develop, and almost there is no cure for such diseases. But still, one cannot give up that urge. It is so strong. Even Arjuna asked Lord Krishna that Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charate purusha, that what is there that even unwillingly one is forced to indulge. What is that greatest force? So Lord Krishna explained kamesha krodesh rajaguna samudbhava. That Lord Krishna explained that this is a lust only, which is born of in contact with mode of passion, and later on it turns into wrath, anger. And this is the mahashanam mahapapma. This is the great enemy of the living entity. So if someone can realize his great enemy, one has to be very, very cautious. That enemy may attack at any time. And therefore one should be very, very cautious, extremely careful that enemy doesn't attack. And Lord Krishna also explains that this enemy has conquered very important places in this body. Buddhi, man, senses, indriyas. So these three places, mind, intelligence and senses, this enemy is residing. We never know when that enemy will attack. So one has to be very, very careful. And only way to overcome this enemy is to engage into devotional service, into the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then that propensity to enjoy in this material world will be transformed into love of Godhead. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also it is explained that Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tarabole Nam, Tarabole Kam. That whatever one does for sense pleasures or for the benefit of the his oneself, that is said to be kam or lust, material desire. Krishnendriya Priti Vancha Dhare Premam. That Krishnendriya Priti Vancha means if someone serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his desires, he dotes all his desires in serving the Supreme Lord, then that is prem, that is love of Godhead. And in this material world, it is a perverted reflection of our eternal nature. Our eternal nature, if someone analyzes, then it is to serve the Supreme Lord, to engage into his loving devotional service. But when it is reflected in this material world, by the contact of the material nature, by the mode of passion, it turns into lust. So originally everyone is in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness. That is our eternal nature. But because of the contact of this material nature, three modes of material nature, that consciousness is now polluted. And therefore, depending upon the degrees of contamination, one is in the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. And then one goes through different species. He wants to become the Lord, or he becomes, want to become the controller. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti chan guna karanam eva guna sangasya sadasa dhyoni janmasu. That the living entity thinking himself to be Purusha, Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti chan guna. And then what happens? Then he transmigrates to different species, because he wanted to become the enjoyer. That was the original sin. And in that way, one fell down in this material world. One falls down in this material world. And therefore, then one suffers in this material world. And therefore, if one is not, one doesn't take the opportunity to perfect his life by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then again he'll be lost. And therefore, here Prahlad Maharaj is praying to the Supreme Lord. He had that wonderful opportunity to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord directly. And Lord had come there to protect his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. And he was ready to fulfill his desire. Whatever Prahlad Maharaj wanted, he was ready to fulfill. So here Prahlad Maharaj is desiring that he desires to be in the association of devotees. He is not saying that I should get the direct worship of the Lord. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath. He is not thinking that let me directly worship the Lord. That is also not his desire. In fact, he is setting an example. He is saying that let me become the servant of the servant. And in that way, he is pleasing the Supreme Lord. And now he is concerned about all the living entities, those who are suffering in this material world. And why they are suffering? Because of the illusory happiness. Chapala sukha. They think that this happiness can give us the ultimate happiness. But Prahlad Maharaj is quite analytical. Even at this age of almost 5, he has understood that there is no happiness in this material world. And he is praying on their behalf to the Supreme Lord that please have mercy on them. He prayed in the previous verses that I can chant your glories constantly. And in that way, I can cross over this material world. And I can come back to you. But what about these people, those who are suffering in this material world? Who will deliver them? And therefore, he is praying to the Supreme Lord that he should have mercy on them. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I am even ready to suffer for them. If they get an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. I am ready to suffer on their behalf. That is the greatest compassion of a Vaishnava. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also we can say that Prahlad Maharaj, again incarnated as Vasudeva Dutt, because at the time Lord had appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the most merciful incarnation. And he was giving the highest love of Godhead without discrimination. Anyone who was ready to take, he was giving the highest thing. And at that time, Prahlad Maharaj had again, he came as Vasudevata, and he was praying to the Lord that let me suffer, let all these people, they go back home, back to Godhead. And even if I have to take all their sinful reactions, let me take. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much pleased with this type of attitude or consciousness, and many times proclaimed that I am simply the property of Vasudev Datta. And in that way, we can see the compassion of devotees in this parampara. The devotees are, they are carrying the legacy of compassion in this disciplic succession. And we can see so many devotees in this line that they showed such compassion for the living entities. And they were ready to take any kind of sufferings. Because when it comes to preaching, it is not easy to give someone Krishna consciousness. If we go on the street and tell someone to chant a holy name, he will look at us as if we are strange people coming from some different planet. They may think that, who is this person coming and telling us, we know so many things, we are made so much advancement, material science has made, and what is this chanting, what is this books, what, why we are wasting time? First of all, they will question. So this is the condition presently, that people are not even realizing that they are suffering. If someone is suffering, if we tell that you are suffering, he admits, then we can help him. But somebody doesn't admit that he is suffering, then there is no question of helping him. He thinks that you are suffering. So that is the greatest problem in this material world, that people, they don't realize that they are suffering. And we can see in this line that Gadadhar Das Goswami, whose disappearance is also today, in fact the disappearance of three Vaishnava Acharyas, three Vaishnava, Gadadhar Das Goswami, Dhananjay Pandit and Shilashnivas Acharya. And Gadadhar Das Goswami was said to be the 23rd branch of Lord Chaitanya. And he was also the associate of Lord Nityananda. So he was both the associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he had very simple technique of preaching to people. He would go and simply tell them to chant Hare Krishna. He would go and tell them that you chant Hare Krishna. And people would chant Hare Krishna, and then they would perfect their lives. Very easy. Just tell them and people would achieve love of God. And one day there was one Muslim magistrate. He went in his house in the middle of the night and very emphatically told him that you chant Hare Krishna. Now devotees also may make discrimination where to go, whom to tell. Somebody is favorable, sober person, we think that let him explain in a peaceful way, he will take to chanting, then it is good, like he becomes favorable and But he went to the house of a Muslim. He was like totally against Hindu. We can see at that time Muslims were ruling, and they were so cruel towards Hindu. So at that time Gadadhar Goswami was so bold, he did not mind. He just straight went away and told to chant Hare Krishna. The Qazi was so afraid. He was thinking, who has come? And he was so afraid, and he told, yes, yes, I will chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. Somehow there he said that way. Gadadhar Goswami started chanting and dancing very ecstatically. He was saying that, why tomorrow? You have chanted today Hare Krishna. And he went, because he saw that somehow that he engaged them in chanting Hare Krishna. Because even somebody chants the name of Krishna once, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, three times he explained to Satyaraj Khan that if someone chants the name of Krishna once, he is considered to be Vaishnava. First time when he asked, then he told. Second time, again Satyaraj Khan asked, that time he told that one is constantly chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is considered to be Vaishnava. Then next year, when again Satyaraj Khan, he put forward same question, who is a Vaishnava? That time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that by whose mere presence one feels like chanting, dancing Hare Krishna. So that is a Vaishnava. So in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained three levels of Vaishnavas: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. So anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, he gets benefited. So in that way, Gadadhar Goswami, he had this preaching technique. And it is said that he was the luster of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come in that mood, Radha Bhava Diti Suvalita. Then the mood of Srimati Radharani and the luster. So that is said that Gadadhar Goswami represented that. Then Dhananjaya Pandit also is said to be the associate of Lord Nityananda. And it is said that he was also in the party of Sankirtan party of Lord Chaitanya. And it is said that his descendants are still there in the village where he was residing. And third is Disappearance Day of Srila Srinivas Acharya. Of course, time is running out. But there is a lot it can be said about Srinivas Acharya. Because this life of Srinivas Acharya also is very wonderful. And it is said that his parents, they, Gangadhar Bhattacharya and his mother Lakshmi Priya, they were staying in a village, Chakandi, nearby Katwa, in Burdwar district. And he was very much attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was always telling the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the devotees, and in fact he wanted to do many more things to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but of course he did not reveal many things. He was in his meditation, he was doing. He wanted to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so therefore he decided to go to Navadvip. And when he was on the way to Navadvip, he came to Katwa, and he heard that Nimai, who was staying in Navadvip, has come to Katwa to take sannyas. At that very time, Lord Nimai was going to take sannyas at that very spot. So he hurriedly came that place, and he saw that there was a great assembly there. Lot of devotees assembled. Nimai with his wonderful hair cascading on his shoulders, and in front of him was Kesho Bharati, who was going to give him sannyas initiation, and there was barber Madhushil. He was also hesitant to cut the hair of Lord Chaitanya, Nimai. But Nimai was determined, because he had come to establish the Yugadhara, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he knew that unless he takes sannyas, people will not take him so seriously. Because even at that time, sannyasi was considered to be very respectable. Even the social custom was to respect a person in the renounced order of life. Of course, in Kali Yuga, it is degrading faster. But at that time, people would at least be submissive to person who is in the renounced order of life. They would hear. So therefore, Nimai had decided that I have to take sannyas, and in that way, people will listen from me, and they will achieve love of Godhead. So in that, indirectly, he was inducing them to become the recipient of the mercy. And that time, Kesho Bharati, he told that his name, Nimai's name, will be Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And there was so much uproar there. There were so many passerby people. They were thinking that why Nimai is taking sannyas? Why he has to cut his long hair? And there were so much remorse. And the condition of Gangadhar Bhattacharya was also terrible. He was just hearing these words. He could not hear anything else. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he was constantly chanting, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And in that mixed emotions, he later came back to his village. And he was so much in that mood and ecstasy of chanting the name of the Lord that even his wife started chanting. And then the people, they saw that he's continuously chanting the name of Chaitanya. So therefore, they called him, they started calling him Chaitanya Das. That was another name given to him. And it is said that they did not have any child for many years. And they desired to have a child. So Chaitanya Das now, he thought of going to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to take his blessings. So both of them, they started traveling to Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya was residing. And they went, they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They offered their pranams, obeisances. And Lord was very pleased with them. And he told that he welcomed them. And he told that Lord Jagannath, he is here. And you can go and take his darshan and blessings. and they went and they prayed to the Lord and came back. And being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand their desire. And he told that Lord Jagannath is very pleased with your prayers. And Lord Chaitanya had his assistant Govinda, he also told to Govinda that they will get a child and his name will be Srinivas. And Lord Chaitanya told that through Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they have written, they will be writing Bhakti Shastras. And through Srinivas Acharya, I will distribute this to all people. So that was prophesized by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later on, they came back to their village. And very soon they had a child named Srinivas. And when the grandfather, his mother's father, Balaram Vipra, he calculated his horoscope, that time he found that he is a great personality, Mahapurush. He had all the symptoms of a Mahapurush. And right from beginning of his childhood, his mother was teaching him Gaur Kirtan, Lord Chaitanya's Kirtan. And in that way he was growing. He started chanting the names of Radha, Krishna and Chaitanya. So in that way he was growing. Later on, because of his devotional demeanor, he became quite popular. And in nearby village Shrikhanda, there was Narahari Sarkar. And he went to see Narahari Sarkar because he was also a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And Narahari Sarkar also had a great influence on him. He was almost like his spiritual master. He gave a lot of spiritual teachings to him. And in fact, he also desired that to take initiation from Narahari Sarkar. But he told that it is a desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami in Vrindavan. And in that way, he told Srinivas Acharya that you go and meet Lord Chaitanya in Puri, Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya is staying. You should go and take his blessings. And of course, Srinivas Acharya, he followed that order. And when he was going towards Puri, on the way, he heard the devastating news that Lord Chaitanya has disappeared from this material world. He was so devastated by that news. He could not do anything. But still, he proceeded towards Jagannath Puri, where he met Gadadhar Pandit. And at that time, when he heard that news, he was almost ready to give up his life. That time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared. He gave some divine vision to him. Some say that it was a dream. Some say that on the pretext of a dream, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and told him to go to Jagannath Puri, proceed, where he will meet Gadadhar Pandit, from whom he can learn Srimad Bhagavatam. So he again compose himself and went. He saw the condition of Gadadhar Pandit. He was in so much in the mood of separation. He was totally changed personality. And one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam he had, because of the constant tears which are coming from his eyes, the words were almost vanished from the manuscripts. It was not legible, or it was not readable, that Bhagavatam. And some historians, they say that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given that copy to Gadadhar Pandit, already the ink was wiped out because of Lord Chaitanya's tears when he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So that was the level of these great personalities. That time Gadadhar Pandit told Srinivas Acharya that now this copy we cannot study properly because the ink is wiped out. To meet some more associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, because after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the associates of Lord Chaitanya were also disappearing. They could not bear the separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was so much intense that gradually they were also disappearing. And Srinivas Acharya, thinking that these are the great personalities, their association is so rare and I should not miss that opportunity. So therefore he was ready to take their association. And therefore it is said that he went to many associates to meet Paramananda Puri, and many associates, those who are there, and somehow other he got delayed. And of course there are many things that again he doesn't meet Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. By the time he reaches there, they also disappear. And that is another blow to him. He becomes again disturbed, so much disturbed. He was thinking that what is the desire of the Lord? Lord wanted me to study under them, but what is happening? So somehow there he meets Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami takes care of him nicely. And already Narottam Das Thakur was with him for 1 year. There they become the great friends. And in that way he later on Jiva Goswami sends them to Bengal, because on the request of Janava Devi, she wanted that these literatures to be distributed in Bengal. So therefore Srila Jiva Goswami, he puts all these valuable literatures on a bullock cart, properly packs them, all the manuscripts of the Goswamis, all the rare literatures, and he sends 10 soldiers to guard this treasure. This was a valuable thing. And 2 people driving the cart, ox cart, and these 3 saints, Srila Srinivas Acharya, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, and Srila Shamananda Pandit. They all, 15 of them, they start traveling from Vrindavan to Bengal. And on the way they go through so many places, Jharkhand forest, and as we know that in this place, Vishnupur, Vana Vishnupur, there had been a king. And this king was quite atrocious. He used to plunder, although he was a king, he used to plunder people. He had a band of dacoits. They would go and plunder the riches, whatever they had, people had. And he had some astrologers with him who told that these people are coming with the greatest treasure with them. And we should steal this treasure. We should get that treasure. And some people, they started following these people because they knew that in this ox cart there is some great wealth is there. And they started following since many villages before. And some of them were thinking that we'll steal it now. But some other they reach in their own province where they saw that all of them are so tired, fatigued because of the journey. And in that night, they stole the literatures. All the important literatures, manuscripts written by Goswamis, they were all stolen. When they woke up in the morning, they found that all the literatures are gone. So that was another challenge they were facing. It was so disturbing to them. Hare Krishna. I think it is too late, 10 o'clock. So maybe some other time we'll continue. This is a very wonderful story, and we'll continue sometime later on. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Shri.